And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray. Rock God Rick Mexa is still on his honeymoon, but Corey Sandin is here co-hosting today. We're having a great time with Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute. We're going to be talking fishing. It is prime time fishing here in Southern California in the summer. And you stay tuned. We've got great information for you on Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have fishdope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new fishdope.com membership. Check it out today. fishdope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, this weather and geez,
feels tropical, doesn't it?
I
feels
love
like
it.
Summertime.
I like it.
Oh yeah, it is.
Right?
It's middle of August, August 15th already, right?
Yeah.
How's Corey doing?
Doing good.
Yeah,
doing
you
good.
Baits like crazy out there in Santee.
It's been super busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with that heat yesterday, I hooked the boat up and actually went down in the water. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. A little bit of fun.
Oh yeah, catching fish.
Yeah, caught a few fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, the water temps have been kind of up and down and
weird.
Around. Yeah, really weird, but still some biting fish.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
It's all about good times.
Yeah, well, speaking of biting fish, we have Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks for coming into the world headquarters. Let's Talk Hook Up here and broadcasting with us right next to the San Diego Landings. And boy, what a weird year. What a weird August this has been, huh?
Well, I'll side with Corey on that one, trying to get out of Santee is where I live, but you get down here and it's like, well, it's 10 degrees cooler, but it's twice as humid, so I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up there.
Yeah. That's all right. That's what air conditioning's for, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
There's no air conditioning on the boat or while you're golfing or anywhere else, so might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, you got that natural sea breeze to keep you cool.
We'll take it.
Yeah. So what's been going on the Tribute? Now you're here, so the boat's out, so what's going on with that?
Captain Buzz Brizendine's running the boat. He's become my relief guy here lately. And
legendary Buzz.
Apparently is a glutton for punishment with wanting to be on a boat after all these years. And The more I've talked to him about it, he definitely loves running another Detmar. He got on the boat the first trip and said, man, you've done a great job with this thing. It's come a long way, and he was going to run the boat Tuesday and Wednesday. He's been my Monday night and Tuesday night guy. And this week with me doing the show, he didn't want to go home for a couple of days and come back, which I completely understand. So I was forced to get off the boat for 5 days. It's been horrible.
What a horrible day. But you've been running a long stretch.
We started running June 9th, and we've been out every day since. Some very, very good fishing. Some up and down fishing in the process, but... No, it's nice being on the boat 4 or 5 days a week and letting him run the boat a couple of days.
Yeah.
John Stratton, John Bass has been running the boat. He filled in a couple of days. And same deal. A lot of these guys that get off boats and think they're going to retire. Ray Sobiak was a really good example. I worked for him for years. And then when he sold that thing, he had stand down here right in front of the landing over at H&M. And, oh, Ray, what are you doing? And, well, I don't know what else to do.
Whatever happened to Ray?
He's in Montana.
In Montana?
As far as I know, okay. he bought property out there. Very, very avid hunter. Couldn't pick a worse place to retire. I mean, it sounds like it took him a few years, I think, to get used to not being on the boat every day. He was
being
up
away
there.
From the ocean.
He would run the boat for stretches. John Bass was a relief guy back then. A few other guys.
Going back, though. Ray Sobiak, man, on the producer.
Boy, yeah. I remember fishing with Ray.
Weren't we just talking about getting old?
Right? Yeah. I know that feeling for sure.
I spent almost 4 years with him. Very, very good guy to learn from. Very hard to work for at times, but a great fisherman.
Yeah, no, I remember some pretty good days with him. But you worked on the producer for a number of years.
Yeah, I came down here in 1996. My first season was actually with Frank on the Coral Sea.
Oh.
I knew Frank from up north, and when the boat,
you come from Ventura, Santa Barbara.
I do.
Area?
Ventura County. I ran or worked on boats out of Port Hueneme and Ventura. When I was 10 years old, I used to ride my bike or have my mom drop me off at Ventura Sport Fishing. After I delivered paper, I was a glutton. I had a paper route, and then I'd go get on boats after that. And if I missed the boat for some reason, I was always so bitter about it. But started down here in 96. Frank offered to put me through school, get my license for me if I stayed with him. But I wanted to stay down here, talk to Ray, ended up spending the next few seasons with him, got my license while I was working for him. And like I said, a very, very good fisherman, among the best. Definitely had his ways and was a little strict. It's something you don't really see in our industry anymore, and it's kind of a bummer, a lost art. But you know, where you're on tiptoes around the guy a lot. But
what has shaped you up?
Run a tight ship. Right?
And I got my license working for him, and went from there to the Excel. So
wow.
Not a bad process.
Yeah, for sure. And how long were you on the Excel?
Oh, let's see. I got on there, I think, in 2000, and spent a few years there, got off, ran the International Star for a while with the previous owner, got back on the Excel for a short period of time after the Legend and before the Tribute. So
yeah.
Ran the Legend the last season that it was at Seaforth. There were some issues there with just ownership, banks, you know. Yeah. Kind of how the whole thing goes. And then was offered actually by Frank Lopresti. He had called the boat one day and said, hey, are you interested in trying to find a boat to replace the Legend with? And I almost fell over.
Yeah. When Frank calls, you listen, right?
Yeah. And I mean, such a great great opportunity, a great run. And we were just talking about it. I spent years and years here in this out of these three landings. But as soon as I drove in the parking lot this morning, I said, man, I love Seaforth.
Right? Yeah. No. It's free, abundant parking.
I got in, and there's a lot of RPs unloading. There's guys getting ready to go out. But all of a sudden, you get in here, and you go, man, you know, I have rows and rows of free parking over there. I have a street that you don't almost ever have to park on, but same thing. All the free parking you want.
Back up.
Yeah, I almost backed out.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No, we're glad you're here. So the Tribute, of course, is a legendary boat, a long-range boat.
Originally built as the Polaris 3. As far as Bill going, Dittmar Donaldson built the boat in 1966, or was completed in 1966. Bill definitely had his say in how it was built. It's low to the water. It's wide. It is probably the most user friendly of the Dittmar platforms.
It, yeah.
You know,
it's
nice wide
too,
bow,
right?
80 feet.
Yeah.
But the low to the water, plenty of rail space up the side. You don't have a real high rail like some of the other ones do. They're all great boats.
Yeah.
I mean, you have boats anywhere from the Islander, the Searcher. There's just a list and list of the bigger Dittmars, the Freedom, you know, and so on. And most of them are built very similar, but as far as looking at the two that were, like, fishing specific, I would say you have the Polaris 3, which is now the Tribute, which was the Holiday for, 38 years?
Yeah.
And you look at the Searcher, and both of those, I think he had a say in how they were designed.
Wow.
Well, two boats in, what was it, 3 years?
Yeah.
From the original
and
Polaris.
And the man knew what to do.
Oh, yeah.
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 So the boat you have, the Tribute, and the Searcher were built 3 years apart.
I think so.
Wow.
He had the,
I love the history.
The Polaris, which is the Prowler, right into my boat. And it's one of the ones that I guess Ingrid Poole was very, very excited about because the heads were located on the inside.
Ah,
the doorways on the inside. You didn't have to go up to the bow. You didn't have to, if you're coming out of the shower, you didn't have to worry about getting due to salt water on the way out. And, you know, it definitely has, all the years, I know it wasn't built with the tower. But that tower that was on it when it was
so
the Holiday.
So iconic.
You'd see it from 10 miles away.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
just, I when I first came down here, I remember being on the Producer and staring at that boat going, man, what a great looking boat. Yeah. If it had still had the tower when I bought it, we would have found a way to keep it and maintain it. But yeah, just, I mean, legendary lines on it. It wowed me from, you know, the first time I came down here.
Yeah, no, it's, and the cool thing is you run day and a half. Overnight, day and a half, and some shorter multi-day trips, but it's a long range. It was built as a long-range platform.
They did countless trips down to Olaos Rocks, Guadalupe Island, and it's neat. Back when Bill was alive, talking to him about it, those early days fishing Olaos, yeah, sometimes they never found him. Yeah, he said, you know, they
the think, rocks.
Oh yeah,
think about that.
Really? Well, I've been down there on the Excel where it's so foggy. If you didn't hear them, you didn't see them. Like you didn't know they were there. So
wow.
You think about that before, you know, a lot of this technology came out. Is okay. Well, we've been traveling for 2.5 days. Maybe we should start looking around for them. They're here somewhere.
Yes.
And he said, you know, there is trips where they never found them, and they still had good fishing.
Unreal. Imagine that.
I know.
That was back in the Loran days when it wasn't
the Loran Sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got your 2-line and your 4-line, and I don't know how. I've fished it up in Ventura County a lot, but down here, it's only so accurate, and, you know, if you have a fair amount of current or whatever, but that would be pretty interesting. Yeah. It'd be like, all right, guys, we'll start fishing.
Yeah. Well, it's just a little outcropping of rocks in the middle of, literally in the middle of the ocean, right?
No, you can imagine Rocca Partita or even Clipperton falling into that category. It's out in the middle of nowhere, and there's not a whole lot to it.
Yeah, wow, pretty amazing. So, describe the boat to us. You have actually some staterooms on the boat, and you know, like you said, comfortable heads and showers and such like that.
Yes, it has two deck level staterooms up in the bow, and it's something we've talked about getting rid of over the course and adding another head, which it still might happen. I know you can always promise something, but we're definitely going to keep one of them. Anybody, they're great for families. People that have any kind of leg issue going up and down the stairs. We do sleep 42 people. We have 36 in our main bunk room, all air conditioned. All the bunks are individual. Curtains on all of them. And now with our whole COVID experience going on, our load has been limited to 30 guys, which for an 80-foot boat is based on your
super friendly,
six,
super sweet.
It's become very, very comfortable. And so... With 30 guys, our main bunk room, we do have 6 bunks that are open. We do have our staterooms open. So there's plenty of room for storage. If you need to get away from the guy snoring next to you, there's always an option. So that's real handy.
Not 30 people, my
goodness. Not being you know, maxed out in any way. And then there's two main heads with showers in them, deck level. Thank you, Ingrid.
Nice. Yeah.
And very, very comfortable. Big galley seats, a little over 20 people. So it was definitely designed to spend time on. I know back in the day they used to, Man, it sleeps 56 if you want to.
Wow.
I don't want to see 56 people on the boat.
No. Even back on the albacore days, right?
Oh, man. Well, you hear about a lot of those days. 56, they didn't stop there.
Yeah.
They just keep putting them on.
You were lucky if you bought a ticket and got a bunk.
You sleep where you slept.
Right.
No,
the good old days.
The old stories. Thank goodness those are gone. Right.
So, yeah, definitely a lot more comfortable. You see a lot of these big boats now that... Yeah, and everybody is abiding by this COVID thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like the new Seaforth. I mean, it's a giant boat, 35 guys. If you ever want to be on a boat and be comfortable, you know, the guys at Seaforth, I know we're doing a very good job about it. We check everybody's temperature coming on the boat. We do have a questionnaire that SAC put together. We do ask, you know. We're playing it as safe as we can, and then you get a fish with a light load and a comfortable experience.
And you're out in the open air.
You're out in the open air. Also, it's something I know myself, Jim Hughes, and I picked up two of the foggers for the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. We go through and use a disinfectant. We spray the entire boat, bunks, curtains.
Every trip.
Everything. Yeah, wow. In between every single trip. So we're happy to be doing this. We're extremely happy to be doing this.
Yeah.
And we're going to, you know, keep it as clean and tidy and make sure that everybody's safe and we're doing everything by the book.
And I think COVID or no COVID, next year or the year after, all this new measures are something that probably going to stick around just because it's just safety for the passengers.
Well, it's funny because you can lump it all in however you want, but how many colds have you heard of or flus? Like, I mean, people are being so much cleaner. I used to be a good candidate. I just got back from Harrah's. I spent a couple of days up there. I think we're definitely playing a little safer than some, but, you know, with all the cleaning measures and the social distancing and the reduced capacity, like, things of cold, I'm not going to say are of the past, but they're thinned down a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Now, let's talk about this fishing that's going on now. It's just been different. I mean, there was some really good fishing up by Catalina earlier this week, and then that kind of moved out, right?
Yeah, it's been a little bit up and down, like we were talking about before we got in here. I think summer hasn't actually started for us yet. Even our weather, aside from the last few days with this crazy humidity and heat, it just reminds me of June fishing.
Yeah, and it really does. You know, it's crazy, the marine layer reaching all the way inland, too, and that's something you see in May and June.
Right.
And
It seems like
you see it all through July. It's crazy.
It seems like May and June now last a lot longer than they used to.
Yes.
But like, if you look at our fishing last year, some of our best yellowfin fishing was in December, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I had last week, we had a couple of slow days on the boat, a couple of really slow days. There were some fish around. They have been moving quite a bit. And I looked at my logbook from the last 2 years, and I said, wow, week of August 7th hasn't been very good. And then you look at the following week, and it was great. And it's been on a little bit of a roller coaster here. It's some very, very good days and very, very slow days. The fish had moved up behind Catalina there for a while, which if you're on a faster boat, you know, one-day boat, you can get up there. And Buzz had some pretty good fishing up there a couple of days ago. And
It's a long way, though. It's like 100 miles, right?
85 miles.
85.
Yeah, it's still, as long as you're not on a boat doing 8 knots.
Yeah.
Not poking fun at anybody, but
yeah, but you can make it on the Tribute.
Yeah, if you know, 10.5 knots, it's not a problem on a 1 day trip.
What do you think that hurricane in southern Baja? You know, that was southwest of Cabo. What do you think that plays a role? I mean, potential.
You know, we always thought that pushed fish up, and there's been studies that seem to prove otherwise, but I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, let's
bring some on up. We did see some Dorado. We saw a little bit of yellowfin around for a while, but I still think, I mean, September's always been my favorite month down here.
Right.
We used to consider, you know, July the start of summer. July is not summer anymore. July seems like, you know, well, I was joking around before this year, and we did have a good July that we're going to start doing maintenance in July just because it had been so off for a while. You know, albacore fishing years, July was awesome.
June, July.
I think we just need to get into this idea that our summer is like August through October.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, right.
And the best weather.
Oh, yeah.
October. Look at the weather for the next week.
October, November, September. And I always said that from a long-range standpoint. People would ask me, what kind of a long-range trip should I do? I said, dude, I'd do a 10-day in October.
Yeah.
You're going to see flat, greasy, calm days. You got a chance at Wahoo, a bunch of different variety of fish.
Yeah.
But those were, when I was on long-range boats, those were my trips. I love those things.
Yeah.
You know, you get out there, you're rolling down to the ridge. It's 80 degrees. It's humid. And you can see, a fish fart on the water from a mile. Like,
yeah.
It's perfect. You know, you get those days, and you're trolling for Wahoo and whatever. But same thing up here is... I think our last trip last year before we hauled out was December 9th, and we had limits of like 4-pound yellowfin 18 miles from home.
Oh, my.
You know, and that's become more of a thing over the years. So a lot of our charter groups are starting to push back later and later. And
it could happen this year for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of fish around.
Well, it's been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of that fish that was around preseason, you know, in May, that bigger fish, I don't think it's really gone anywhere. I mean, they are seeing fish up in Monterey and San Francisco.
But they have the last couple of years, too, you know?
Well, I don't think this is anything that we haven't seen.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, just a little hiccup right now. And I mean, you know.
Pete, we were talking about last weekend, and there had been a couple slow days, and we're like, hey, it's just normal, right?
Cycle.
2 or 3 days, yes.
And then there's limits the following day.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly what happened. Right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was great. And now we've had a couple down days, and...
Yeah.
It's fishing.
Yeah, it's fishing. Yeah. And as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute talking some great fishing here, literally on the water and then off the water. And so he's got the full scoop for us.
Yeah, we're stoked to have Mike in studio here. And if you want to join us, you can give us a shout at 833-288-0973. And Mike came bearing gift.
Yes,
and
he
that's
did.
Going to be an overnight trip for one individual that calls today. Again, the number at 833-288-0973. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. It's Southern California's sport fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
It's a fact. Shimano produces some of the finest fishing reels for our Southern California sport fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. We have a complete selection of Shimano saltwater reels like Talica, Speedmaster, Trinidad, Torium, and Tranx reels. Plus, we have all the best Shimano lures like Flatfall, Colt Sniper, and Orca. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano product for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open-party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
Have you always wanted a boat but don't want all the hassles? Then you need to join Freedom Boat Club, where you get hassle-free boating. Freedom Boat Club buys the boats, you enjoy them, and they do the rest. Freedom Boat Club takes care of the slip fee, maintenance, insurance, and cleaning. You have access to a fleet of great fishing and family boats ready to go in the water at Mission Bay, San Diego Bay, and 190-plus locations across the world. For more information, check freedomboatclub.com or visit them at Dana Landing and Cabrillo Isle Marina.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Oh, Hookup!
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And, man, that was a great intro.
Oh, just, yeah.
I love hearing the history about the boat.
Yeah,
too.
History of the boat. And then also just, like, the anticipation of going fishing right now.
Is yeah.
Just so, I mean, watching the Royal Polaris unload this morning, the Royal Star unload this morning. I believe the American Angler was unloading.
It's beautiful
a,
sight.
There's a lot going on right
yeah.
here. Yeah, for sure. It's summer in San Diego.
Yeah. I like the fact that next week is just planned out for some grease weather,
oh,
too. Oh, right?
Man. Got to love that. And you got to think that with those hurricanes down south and nice weather, things are going to change.
Yeah, looking at the weather for the next week, looks awesome. Looks like a good time to get away from East County to me.
Yeah, yeah, especially because it's going to keep getting hotter, right?
Yeah, and with those two storms moving up, we were just looking at the Windier or the weather app, and it looks like there's another hurricane following this one.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be a little bit closer to the Cape, a little closer to the beach, but you're going to start seeing the bands of rain, the humidity from it. And
oh, yeah.
What's funner than being in East County when it's 103 degrees and it's raining?
I saw that this morning, though, with the sunrise.
On the way here.
You could see the rain sheeting falling down with the sunrise. Beautiful.
Didn't make it to us, but I'm sure the mosquitoes are digging it.
Yeah, beautiful sunrise this morning, indeed. Hey, the phones are packed. They want to talk to Mike, so let's jump into it.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Fiel in San Diego. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup, Fiel.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm listening to the show on the app, and the reason why I was calling is I called in regarding the AB 3030 when they were having the vote and everything, and the one thing I wanted to ask everybody to do is just kind of remember in November to make sure you exercise your right to vote and express to the you know, people that supported AB 3030 that there's a lot of fishermen out there, and we're going to, I guess, make sure you vote and make sure you express your opinion. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and we're going to hear later on from Wayne Cotto from CCA about that very disappointing moment that happened this week. I was on that call, too, and there were so many things that happened in that, but it was predetermined. All those guys just knew exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't even listen to the hundreds of anglers and conservations that testified opposing that bill. There were only 20 people or so that were in favor of the bill. There were hundreds on the line, and I never even got my chance to talk.
Neither did I.
Yeah,
I was on there too? At Harris. I sat there and
for an hour and a half listening.
Waiting for breakfast to be able to get in. And
the fallacy was we were in the queue, right? And then they said, okay, we're done with the queue, and we were still hanging in. I was like, wait, we're not done.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to talk, but
maybe a little predetermined.
Yeah, I think so. Phil?
Yes.
Yeah, did you have a comment? All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for your participation, too. And that's one thing I'll say is that the angler participation on Wednesday
was deep, huh?
Was deep.
Yeah,
and it was so rewarding to hear a lot of our listeners calling in, a lot of our supporters, a lot of industry people, a lot of the captains calling in. It was so rewarding to hear how much support was rallied up by CCA and such to be able to try and stop this thing. But hopefully in the future, I mean, it's not over. It's, as Bill Shedd said, it's only the first inning, and there's nine innings, and we've got a long way to go. So it's not over yet, and we're going to keep fighting for sure. Indeed.
You sound like you're on the side of the Padres, man. The way they've been.
Sorry.
Yeah. I had to throw it in.
Well, absolutely.
Off to a good start, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's jump into the phone.
Let's do it. John in Los Alamitos, good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, John.
Good morning, guys. I just went to the show last Sunday at Friends of Rollo, and I just wanted to say that what a great show. What a great event. And
that was a great event.
I purchased some rods, and I took them out to the car. My sponsor said, "Oh, you were only in there 5 minutes. Why don't you go back and get some more?" So I just wanted to say what a good time I had, and what a good show.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah, and that was the Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, Friends of Rollo, used tackle sale last Sunday. I was there. Great showing. I mean, the line getting in was stretched from the Dana Landing all the way down past into the deep into the parking lot at the beginning there. And everybody was in good spirits, social distancing. And, you know, they let certain – Tim Baker did such a phenomenal job setting that up with Howard Coolidge and a lot of help. Helpers and workers and such like that, and there were some great buys there. And the good news is, we raised a lot of money to take kids fishing.
That's awesome.
So that's what's it was a huge success. And thank you to everybody for coming out. Thanks to Steve Pinard over at Dana Landing for all his support. Thanks to Ron Lane at Fast Lane and Debbie Lane for all their support and all the people that helped out. Thanks for that support, because it's raised a lot of money to take kids
fishing.
That's
a huge deal.
It's
cool. Awesome.
It was a big deal. Thanks for coming out. Let's go ahead and jump back into those phones.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Ed. Ed and Mira Mesa. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ed. How you doing?
Good. Hi, guys. Captain Mike, I have a question for you. I went out Wednesday on a full-day boat, and I've never experienced a boat not catching, you know, a single fish. And you know, they said it was because of the small anchovies that they were eating. I've never heard of something like that. How long do you think that's going to last with those small anchovies?
It's been pretty much every year. Usually earlier on, you see it in June and July. But when they're, and we've seen that plenty of times this year, where you slide on spots of foamers, you know, when they have a ball of anchovy pushed up towards the surface. And the way I explain it to our passengers, and there's really, you know, nothing you can do about it. There has been days in between those, or you get on the right spot of fish and they leave the anchovy and they want to eat a sardine. But it's like being at a buffet and somebody's like swinging a fast food taco over on the sidelines saying, hey, you know, why don't you leave the buffet and come over here and get this? I mean, you're talking about a species or an animal that's just trying to grow as big and fast as it can. So it's not as low on the food chain. And, you know, especially when they get focused in on that, it's like seeing fish on squid. They can't see past what's in front of them.
And the thing, too, the chovy during the day typically will dive deep. It goes deep, and if the bluefin or the pelagic are lucky enough to get a school that's up, they're going to tear them apart.
Well, they're pushed against the ceiling.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, bluefin, yellowfin, albacore have no problem going to extreme depths, but I think they probably exhaust themselves trying to keep pushing the bait ball. Once it gets up towards the surface, you have birds on the top end of it trying to push them down, and you know, they're up against the wall, and they'll sit there and feed on one of those bait balls till it's gone, and move on. It was funny. I was talking about it last week. You started seeing, and what you're seeing as a passenger on the surface is nothing compared to what we're seeing on the sonar, the fish finders, and it's kind of neat to think about how much of that's going on down at 300, 400, 500 feet, because it has to be.
Yeah, and it's an incredible sight of nature to watch these tuna boiling on these pods of anchovies. It's like you pull up on there and they're just like, you see the dark spot in the water, you see the anchovies, and they're just like frenzied on
it. Yeah. There was last week I was fishing next to Jim Hughes on the Cortez, and I was glassing him, and we were kind of leapfrogging a spot, and they were on some whales, and there's yellowfin mixed in with them. Very, very slow fishing that day. We had one yellowfin, and it was off this, but Jim gets on the radio and he goes, wow, did you see that? And I had just seen part of it, but the whale came up and ate the bait ball next to him.
Really?
Wow.
It looked like, I think it was a finback, but it finback. Came up, and from a distance, you know, these yellowfin and the birds and everything have this, I don't know, it could be, you know, 1,000 pounds of anchovies pushed up against the surface.
Ate the whole bait ball.
The whale came up and knocked it out in one shot.
One shot.
But you get up on those spots and you see the scales and you see the carnage. And, you know, it's very, very unfortunate to be on a passenger on a boat where you don't catch anything. It does happen. You know, we want to catch fish.
Nobody feels worse than the captain and the crew. Yeah.
We base our living on this. We want to catch fish as much, if not more, than you do. And it's know, it's part of the cycle. It wouldn't be, the good days wouldn't be as good if you didn't have days like
there
that.
There you go.
Plain and simple.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks a lot
preferably
for the phone
not.
Call. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm optimistic for what's to come here in the weeks coming, for sure.
No, it's, like I said, I think we're just starting.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Hey, as promised, Wayne from CCA is on the line. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Pete, Corey, and Mike. How are you guys doing
good
today?
Good morning.
Hey, we're doing great. So what happened?
Well, you know, we know we have an uphill battle. They have a supermajority up there in Sacramento. We needed to swing three votes, and unfortunately we swung for the fences and we didn't get them.
Wayne, here's the crazy thing, too. They turned on us. They promised to vote with us, and they turned on us, didn't they?
Yeah, so once the first person turned and they had the five votes, you know, I can understand why the other two were hesitant to vote against it. Why go down on your sword? But here's how it works. First, I do want to thank everybody for coming out and putting in and did the time. I know it was frustrating. That's part of our process these days.
Yeah.
But calling in, if you listen to how much support we have, guys, I've never seen this industry come together as great as it is right now. All
yes.
sectors of the fishing industry, the hunting, and everybody else got together, and they put in the time to help. And so thank you, everybody. The letter writing, the petition signing, it gave the pressure. Now, listen to what they said. They took a lot of our amendments. So that pressure that we put on gave us the leverage to get that part. We're still missing the critical piece that we don't want as a group of angling or outdoor enthusiasts, responsible recreation, that we get alienated out of use. That's the piece that we're still struggling with. They claim that they don't want to do that. It's not technically in the bill. That is correct. But there's no reason, if they are not afraid of that, then why won't they take those amendments from us?
Yeah,
and that's
there's
the
no
piece
clarification,
that we're struggling with.
Right?
Correct. But there's all these other pieces that are still problematic with the bill. Who's going to manage it? How are they going to manage it? How are they going to pay for it? What do they consider protected? How do you measure it? How do you know when you're done? How do you know when you've met it? As far as we're concerned, they've already met the 30% on land, water, and ocean. And we tried to argue it, and so did some of our senators. But they are refusing to admit that. So that's a problem. And that's where we struggle. Now, guys, don't give up faith. We still have appropriations to go through this coming week. And then if it gets through that, then it goes to the full Senate floor. So we are still working really hard throughout Sacramento and out in the Senate districts to try to get those amendments done. And we still have a chance. I mean, we're going to keep working it as far as we can. Understand the coalition that we've built isn't just the fishing industry. It is the hunting and outdoor recreation and the greater coalition, because this affects the whole state. So this bill could affect farming and agriculture and water and all these other things. And so we built a really strong coalition to help us fight this, and that's what we're working through right now. So,
I appreciate
everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it was such a good, for me anyway, it was such a good lesson in politics listening to all this. And it shows you how bought and paid for
it already
some
is
of these,
from the beginning.
Some of these Democrat senators and congressmen in our state are bought and paid for by guys like Jeff Bezos that owns Amazon, that own all that land that they want to protect. Well, he just doesn't want people in his front yard. So why not pay off these guys? And I mean, that's just my opinion, but I'm telling you.
Can you imagine if we didn't have Wayne, if we didn't have CCA to educate and inform?
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, and it was so rewarding, too. And, Mike, you were on that call, too. You heard all those people saying, hey, I'm representing CCA. And that was so rewarding to hear the amount of support that you and Chris and everybody associated with CEA has put together, Wayne. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, but thank you. But again, the coalition, guys, give props to everybody. Think about SAC and all of the landings and all of the sport boats that called in. We
Absolutely.
Had every sector call in, whether that was Spiro's, Dive, the guys that fished the pier, the private boaters. Everybody called in. It was a great showing from our sector.
Yeah, a lot of the captains.
Thanks to everybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, Wayne, well, keep us posted on what's going on. Keep up the fight, and hopefully in the next round we're going to have some victory laps. So
yeah,
hopefully that'll
happen. We're going to try to fight it in the appropriations. There's no money to pay for this, guys, so let's hope they come to common sense here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Wayne. Appreciate your efforts.
All right,
thanks a lot for doing everything for CCA. Appreciate that very much. All right, let's jump back into those jam-packed phones. One line open. If you want to get through, talk to Mike. Have a chance to go on the tribute with Captain Mike Pritchard, 833-288-0973.
Let's talk to Doug, a good friend from Montebello. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
I got a question for Mike. All the boats you've driven, it's like the Dittmar Donaldsons, how does the Dittmar Donaldson vary handling-wise from any other boat that's out there?
I've ran boats, anything from the Coral Sea, a little 50-foot plywood boat, on up to the Excel, which is as big and heavy and mean as they get.
Yeah.
So, you know what? For a wood boat, they're amazing. They're heavy. Yeah, the boat's built out of mahogany planks. It's one of the few Dittmars that doesn't seem to be any expense saved as far as the material that was put into it.
Can you imagine what that would cost today
mahogany? You couldn't. I had a passenger.
If you could even get the wood.
And I think the replacement would be just material would be like $3 million, but you wouldn't be able to find it.
Yeah.
There's no way you could come up with that kind of...
There's no availability in mahogany.
They don't age the wood like they used to.
Yeah.
It used to be aged outside and cured, and now it's basically forced into it, and it's not the same. It's not as pliable. You talk to some of the woodworkers, Sal, Russo, and, the difference between what you can get now and... Modern technology isn't always, a favor for some of these things. And you used to be able to slowly bend and mold those planks to do whatever you want to do. But it's, built with big mahogany planks. It's wide.
It has a different ride, though.
It has a deep, deep hole. It has a keel on it. They're not corky like, some of the Seaways are that, go every different direction. The boat's gotten a lot better with removal of the tower, which I still miss. But the boat used to have a lot of weight up top, a lot of freezers, a lot of storage. And you talk to guys that have been on the boat and that hadn't been on the boat in a while and get back on, and they're like, man, this thing rides nice. If it's fully loaded, fuel, water, a slammer. I mean, it's a heavy boat.
Yeah, and you take that weight up on top, it doesn't roll as much, right?
Right, and like going up swell, it's one thing that those the Dittmars are key. They go into it better than just about anything else. So
sure,
it's
quiet too. They ride so quiet because of that
wood. A lot of insulation.
Yeah,
our mains are everything that we have now. We added another generator this year, but everything that we have, it goes through an Aqualift muffler. So you can stand in the stern and you can talk to somebody with no problem.
Wow.
We just made them quieter and quieter. So that's a big part of it. You feel it. And like I said, Buzz Brisendine, who owned the Prowler for decades, he got on it. He goes, man, it feels so good to be back on a Dittmar. So that speaks, tons right there.
And that boat is, what, 40 years old?
It was built in 66, so
older than that.
50, yeah. Whatever it is.
56 years, 55 56. Years old, yeah. something like that. But it could go another 50 years.
Well, and that's the thing is, it's funny, when I was financing it, I was looking at financing through one of the big banks, and they said, well, the wood boats only have a 7-year shelf life, and I was like, man, we're in trouble.
Yeah. We were in trouble 30 years ago, right?
You got mahogany planks. You got white oak frames. The only thing that's going to go bad on it are fasteners, and we refasten the boat. We get checked by Coast Guard. We do fastener inspections. We refastened the entire bow 4 years ago.
Wow.
Aside from that, you're talking about, a 2.5-inch mahogany plank. It'll stand the test of time, especially in salt water.
Solid, man. Solid.
No kidding.
And they just have a completely different ride. I mean, way they enter the water, it's so smooth, and it's just a different ride completely.
And something about some of those wood boats too, they get bit, and I know it's something, especially when you think about albacore, but some of these certain boats, they just stand out as being fishy, and I definitely have one of them, so
we'll take it.
Yeah, I like it. Honored to have that boat for sure.
The
history.
Oh, the history on it?
I like it. We'll take it. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. More from Mike Pritchard. Yeah, I almost said the holiday. I'm sorry. Yeah, but that's all right. Hey, the tribute. Hey, we're going to be right back.
For a long time.
I know it. I like it. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
This is Captain Art Taylor of the Searcher. 2020 is the golden anniversary of Cape Polaris and Searcher. Come help us celebrate 50 amazing years in sport fishing. Searcher has a great crew, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2020 schedule is available now, so this is a golden opportunity to make your reservation online at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia or Callie at 619-226-2400.
Dana Landing in Mission Bay is truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. This is Chelsea. Come see me and our expert fishing staff for just about anything you need for a great day of on-the-water fun. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Landing has you covered with the Blackjack, perfect for up to four anglers, or the Impulse with up to six. Dana Landing has a huge selection with everything you need to catch small bay bass or giant tuna. We will be sure to set you up with the right gear. We even offer reel repair and Mexican and California fishing lights. Licenses. Don't forget the amazing deli at Dana Landing with all the food, ice, and beverages you need to complete your day. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle with all the finest rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. East County Bait and Tackle is located at the end of the 67 freeway on Main Street in Lakeside, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp on San Diego's Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know, it's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
All right. Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup.
Indeed.
Overlooking the landings, man. It's so crazy seeing all the activity in the docks.
Yeah, it's like a summertime feel, you know, that humidity and the heat and
the buzz
boats,
on the docks.
The buzz, fish being unloaded. It's full blown summer in Southern California for sure.
Yep,
we're ready for it too. So, in the meantime, we have Captain Mike Pritchard giving away a trip on the Tribute, overnight trip on the Tribute. Now, what's your schedule right now?
Right now, we're primarily doing one day trips, overnight trips. We do have some day and a half trips mixed in. Our weekends are pretty much all chartered. We did have a couple of groups move to the following year this year just because of the whole COVID ordeal. But the weekends, we're gone instantly. We're out tonight. Trips for the next few days are sold out. I think tomorrow night may have had one opening last I saw, but there's going to be some openings here throughout the week. Fishing, for the most part, has been very, very good. There's been some up and down days, some slow days, but it's kind of funny because it's one of those things where we were talking about earlier. You have a couple of days of slow fishing, and then the next 3 days are limit fishing.
So. And we get spoiled. I mean, there was a solid 2 months where there wasn't a hiccup, really. I mean,
it was pretty good.
The counts were solid.
Ooh,
solid.
Yeah, very, very good fishing. Really nice, great bluefin, too. Average bluefin right now is probably 30 pounds, 30, 35 pounds. They're good ones. There's bigger fish.
How about some of that yellowfin that's been around, man?
We had a charter a couple of weeks ago. We got hung on one of those bigger yellowfin for like an hour, and it was a good one, probably a 60 pounder. We ended up breaking off at color and stayed at color for way too long. But yeah, seeing yellowfin like that up here locally, it's something you had only, I mean, we
it's
for
like
a
Guadalupe,
long
Guadalupe
for a long
stuff.
Time that would have been a big one at Guadalupe.
Yeah. Right?
Things
yeah.
have been a little bit different, change of cycles or whatever. Now you're seeing, you know, 100 plus 150 pound yellowfin at Guadalupe, but 60 pounds used to be a jackpot yellow from there.
Man, I'll take a 60-pound yellowfin 20 miles from home anytime.
Yeah. And like I said, last year, our fall fishing, November and December, maybe not quite that big, but a lot of 40-pound yellowfin and really good fishing close to home, flat, greasy, calm weather. Like I said, some of our late-season fishing last year was pretty epic. And a lot of that was primarily made up of nice, great yellowfin.
Yeah, for sure. Well, phones are packed. They want to talk to you, Mike, so let's jump into
it. Let's do it. Let's talk to Don. Don Colm from Woodland Hills. Good morning, Don. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, a short report on a 3-day I just came in yesterday from the Pacific Queen. We left out Tuesday, and the bluefin had moved based on water conditions, and they were on the backside of Catalina on the west end. So we made the 100-plus mile run up there and started fishing around 3 a.m., and by the end of the day, we were a couple fish short of limits. So we made the decision not to stick around to try and finish out our limits for the trip and ran over to the Cortez and had really good weather on the whole trip and got to the Cortez, and we ended up getting something like, you know, 40-plus yellowtail. So it was really a good trip, and the guys did a really great job.
Nice grade of yellowtail?
Yellowtail were probably in the 15 to 25 pound. There were a couple of bigger fish, but, you know, for those of you that fish the Cortez, you know they're just mean yellowtail out there.
Yeah, sounds like a fun trip.
It was a great trip, and for the guys that are heading out, and I'm sure you'll probably cover this, Mike, make sure you take a wide range of hook sizes and line. The real hot ticket was 25-pound fluoro. Some guys were dropping down to 20 for the yellowtail and for the bluefin, but especially on the bluefin, 20, 25 pound. I caught a couple on 35 pound that I had in my bag, but small hooks too. One guy that was really slaying them, he had a lot of casualties, but he brought a lot of fish on the boat. He was straight 25 fluoro with a number 4 live bait hook.
Woo,
a must-add live bait.
That's getting down there for the size bait we've had.
Yeah, but it's getting bit, right?
Yeah, he was getting bit, and I mean, he was a good angler, so he knew how to fish, you know, that small of a hook. He had, you know, he didn't break off. What he was doing is he was actually just coming unpinned.
But
he had over a 3-day limit of bluefin. Of course, he passed it out to other anglers. But, nice. You know, he just was really good, and he knew how to fish it. But definitely, I was using number 2s and number 1s.
Nice.
But for yellowtail fishing, J-hooks are great. For that bluefin, we've been trying to push the smaller circle hooks just because you end up pulling on them for so long. You don't want to get chewed off. But yellowtail are pretty hard to pull a hook out of.
Yeah.
Those little J-hooks work pretty good.
But now, why do you use a circle hook on the bluefin? Because of the teeth?
A lot of this, and just like he had said, is 25 pounds has been definitely the go-to. Fluorocarbon is pretty much a must. We had some anglers that ran boats up north, fish with us about a week ago, and side by side, I said, man, you got to use fluoro. And he goes, we don't use fluoro. After I hooked 4 and he hadn't hooked one, he goes, all right, give me some fluoro. But those small circle hooks, you're pulling on some of these bluefin, even on 25 pound for half an hour, 40 minutes. That fish rolls over, shakes its head on a J-hook, chews you off, and it's just, they make some really neat circles. I'm a big fan of the little must-add circles myself. And what we've been fishing lately is like a 2-0, 3-0, but depending on the brand of hook, whether it's a Gamagatsu owner, it's they vary differently in hook size, whether they're Japanese hooks or American made.
Yeah, so, I mean, a 1-0 in Gamakatsu may be totally different than a 1-0 in another.
Definitely
brand.
Different. So I'd ask the guys at the tackle store. I mean, our guys at our landing, Dustin and the rest of the crew, I mean, they can point you in the right direction for what size bait we're using.
And how do you not use a short piece of Seaguar? You know, I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Even
especially that Seaguar Goal label, that stuff is strong. Have you used that, Mike?
Yeah, we've been using that
stuff
a lot.
That stuff is awesome.
We do have a really good line connection, and I do need to get some more fluoro from them. But now that Akuma has taken over soft steel, there's no reason we shouldn't be just, you know, handing the stuff out. But it very, very important. You know, we spool up all of our rental guys at night, and the crew comes up and starts grabbing spool after spool, and I pay for it of Seaguar, and it's that important. I mean, we give it away. We just, you know, we don't charge the people.
You
for
want
it,
people to catch fish?
Yeah. They come out with a rent rod, and the first thing you do is, you know, put a small circle hook and 3 feet of fluoro on it.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. It does.
It, you know, makes everything.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, good report and good tips there, too, for our anglers going out. Definitely.
Well, we hadn't been out there yet. I know the trip he's talking about, but the fish went from being yo-yo fish to being fly line fish. And fly line it up that size, yellowtail is pretty darn fun.
Yeah, especially
actually,
in shallow water,
fishing
right?
Fishing the yo-yo is fun, too. So.
Yeah. It's so cool fishing the Cortez that you're out in the middle of the ocean fishing shallow water, right?
And we were talking about not being able to find, Leos Rocks or Partita earlier. Just think of that one.
And
the way they originally found it was not the fun way.
No.
And it's 90-some miles from San Diego?
Yeah, it's about 95 miles.
And that's the closest point, right?
I mean, 90 from everywhere.
It's funny as it's the same distance from Ventura.
Or Fort Wayne.
I think it's within a few miles.
How crazy is that?
It's just the way that where it's centered and where our coastline's shaped. It's it's all the same.
Wow,
yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize.
Pretty wild. Hey, phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Corey.
They are packed, Pete. Let's talk to Rick. Rick calling from Temecula. Good morning, Rick. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Mike, you brought up a name I haven't heard in or thought about in a long time earlier, Ray Sobiec.
Oh, yeah.
I actually was his very first deckhand on the first producer. And I grew up next door to him. And, it reminds me how small a giant fishing community is. It was just good to hear a name.
Yeah, and it was a little bit different back then. He was one of those guys we would save all the tails, every single tail. Oh man!
It was a big deal coming back from the islands, and Eddie McEwen, Ray Sobiec, Buzz, Nick on the new Loanne. If you didn't have the tails sticking up when you backed up to the dock. There was some trouble to be had.
If he saw you throw over a tail, because, I mean, you're thinking about it, and it's the way we have to cut fish now, per our new rules, it takes a lot longer than it used to. But back when you're cutting several hundred fish and you're an hour and a half from the point and you're on a time restraint, you can't slow down, you don't want to take that 30 seconds, or it's probably not that, 10 seconds to cut a tail off. But you start getting some of those bigger fish, and you're like, you look up and you sling it over the side, and somehow he's watching you. I don't know, but you'd back into the dock and there'd be hundreds. I always wanted to dive under the producer and see what it looked like at the end of the season, because I kept thinking
the lobsters probably had a good time.
Sooner or later, we were going to run aground backing into the, there's backing over piles of tails.
So how did that work? So they cut the tail off on whatever fish, yellowtail, albacore, whatever, and they'd put it on the rail?
We'd put it on gunny sack hooks for one.
And once the gunny sack hooks
were filled up, you start stacking them up the bait tank. And
so you almost get like a pyramid going.
And there'd be, I mean, that was just the showpiece. It's like a long-range boat backing in with all the frozen, big tuna tied to the rail.
Back
which
in the day.
Seen plenty of that.
But
it didn't matter what it was. Whether it was marlin, mako shark, the tail was up there.
And those were the days, really, where today's surface iron fishing really bloomed, and kind of that's where a lot of the grain of the work came from was that era.
Oh, yeah. And you look at guys like Danny Wade, sit there and they'd swim jig after jig. Some of it was from the porch there at H&M.
I remember.
Pretty funny. He'd sit there, and when the new order came in, he'd pick them all out and put them off to the side. And then they were
offered to the customer, right?
The rest of them were. The good ones either went to highest bidder or stayed in the tackle box.
Oh, the good old days.
Did you have a comment there, Paul?
Rick?
That was the days before social media. That's how you advertised on the open party trips.
When Bloody Ducks.
How many tails did you have?
When it first came out on the internet, Ray Sobiec told me, I remember at the time because I think I just got my license, he goes, "This will be the end of us." Oh, come on. It's just, it's the same era, and it's an interesting era because it's when we first started really using our fish holds. It was gunny sacks. I mean, everything went in a gunny sack. And then you had some of the younger up and comers started using the fish hold for everything. And same thing, the crew back then goes, "Well, I don't want to have to put every one of these in a fish hold and take it back out." And now, and it's funny because you're looking at some of the stuff happening at Catalina lately, and you're looking at some of the 3/4 day boats that don't really use their fish holds as opposed to the ones that do, and it's
a huge difference in quality.
Yeah, you get what you pay
big
for.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that, Rick. Thank you very much.
All right.
Absolutely,
hey, we're
guys. Have a great day.
Hey, Rick. Thank you very much, Rick. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to be coming back with your calls and the fish reports coming right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
It's a fact of life in Southern California. Hard water. And if you have a pool, your tile shows it. Here comes San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning to the rescue. With their specialized equipment, SD Pool Tile Cleaning can safely remove the stubborn calcium deposits most pool owners struggle with. SD Pool Tile Cleaning can make your tile look bright and clean, almost like new again. High-pressure pool maintenance cleaning can damage grout, stone, and dislodge tiles. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning uses a low-pressure media blasting technique to protect your pool surface from damage and yield fantastic results. So stop making excuses for your stained tiles on your pool. Make them look like new again with San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check their website at sdpooltilecleaning.com and let their professional staff rejuvenate your pool tile. When it comes to professional swimming pool tile cleaning service, there's only one name you can trust. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check sdpooltilecleaning.com.
Hey, you know, time for to talk about where the fish are always biting, and that's at Point Loma Seafoods, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. I'm telling you, you go in there, and their case this time of the year is just, it's a showpiece.
It's beautiful.
It is a showpiece.
The freshest thing in town.
Freshest thing in town. Fresh salmon, fresh whatever, tuna, yellowtail, sea bass. I mean, they've got it. And, of course, you know, people are really into the king crab and the shrimp right now. They're gourmet shrimp. And
I love their smoked fish case.
Oh, the smoked fish case. Nothing like it. And, of course, their sushi. They have a phenomenal sushi chef there, and they just do fantastic. And, of course, we haven't even ventured into the kitchen yet. But absolutely, if you're hungry for lunch or dinner, take it home or eat it there outside. It's Point Loma Seafoods right next to the San Diego Landing.
Squid sandwich.
In Point Loma. Squid sandwich. That's a good one.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag 2-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2, the extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid, hoggity body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. Plus, a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and durability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer trailer backup assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.